2014. Wheel me in, coach. The game. Atlanta Braves 2, Washington Nationals 1. Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. Attendance 42,834 on Friday, April 4th, 2014. The weather, 50s and overcast. Hall of Famers, none as of March 2022, but maybe Washington outfielder Bryce Harper and Atlanta first baseman Freddie Freeman. Both will be eligible 5 years after retirement. Game highlights. The Washington Nationals' reign atop the National League East Division lasted exactly one season, 2012, due in large part to their head-to-head performance against the 2013 division champion Atlanta Braves. Washington lost 13 of 19 games between the two clubs, and the Braves ran away with the division. It seemed to make 2014's first homestand that much more important for first-year manager Matt Williams. After winning the season's first three games at New York, the Nationals came home flat. Washington squandered multiple scoring opportunities against six Atlanta pitchers, going 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Jordan Zimmermann and three Washington relievers pitched well enough to win, giving up only six hits and two runs. By season's end, this loss did not matter in the 2014 standings. The Nationals would return to the top of the NL East, outdistancing the Braves and Mets by 17 games with a league-leading 96 wins. The story. Today was a day to reflect on the six venues I visited on past opening days and appreciate how far we have come regarding improving access for people with disabilities. As a volunteer leader for the Arthritis Foundation for 20 years, I advocated for continued improvements in access to care and facilities. My son Daniel needed significant assistance getting around. He was diagnosed at age 11 with severe juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. See chapter 1993 and Daniel's interaction with Cal Ripken Jr. But today wasn't about talking the talk or even walking the walk. It was about rolling the roll. I had pushed Daniel's chair for years, but today, for the first time, I attended a sporting event in a wheelchair. My opening days in the 1970s and 80s were at Memorial Stadium, RFK, Comiskey Park, and Wrigley Field, stadiums built in the 1960s or earlier, with little thought given to the game day experience of a person in a wheelchair. These were relics of a time when some venues had a quarantined handicap section, where a dozen or more wheelchairs were clustered, perhaps with a folding chair nearby for a companion. The lines of sight were varied, especially if able-bodied fans in front stood to cheer. Concessions and hard-to-use bathrooms might be half a stadium away. In 1990, the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, changed all that. When baseball unveiled the new Comiskey Park, now Guaranteed Rate Field, in 1991, and Oriole Park the following year, it ushered in a new era in stadium design that expanded game access for people with disabilities, especially those in wheelchairs. Every baseball venue built or renovated since has followed suit. President Ronald Reagan's press secretary, Jim Brady, wounded in the 1981 assassination attempt on the president, visited Oriole Park in his wheelchair just prior to opening day 1992. "This is a place that's friendly to me and to so many of my friends who are fans with disabilities," Brady said as he observed some of the 448 specially designed swing-to-the-side seats in the wheelchair locations spread throughout Camden Yards. Each such pairing included one permanent seat and a second that could easily be flipped out of the way to accommodate a wheelchair when necessary. "This ballpark welcomes us." Brady's appreciation for the impact of the ADA was profound. He described the accommodations over and over to reporters. "Remarkable. Remarkable. Everything I've seen is first class." What was new in 92 was the new normal 20-plus years later. By 2014, we all were taking these features for granted. In addition to bathroom accommodations and improved parking and curb cuts we now see at all public facilities, the ADA spelled out specific requirements intended to standardize stadium access and improve the experiences of fans with disabilities. On this opening day, I was able to experience those improvements firsthand. Let's turn the clock back a couple of weeks. My brother-in-law Ed and I returned late Monday night from our first annual trip to Nationals spring training. On that frigid Tuesday morning at 5:30 a.m., with a computer bag in one hand and a coffee mug in the other, I walked out the front door to begin the daily commute. Clearly, my feet were still in Florida. When they encountered a patch of black ice, the coffee went flying, and so did I. The resulting torn quad tendon above the right knee required significant reconstructive surgery and no weight bearing for 4 weeks. I had only one concern. How will I get to opening day? Two themes came to mind, one from the U.S. Postal Service and the other from some high school literature class. Number one, neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from their appointed rounds. Two, necessity is the mother of invention. In other words, nothing was keeping me from opening day, and we had to figure something out. When game day arrived, we had a companion plan. Steve Ebner, a lifelong friend, accepted the assignment. He had the perfect resume for the job. A Nationals fan with opening day experience who knew how to navigate a wheelchair through large crowds. In May 1982, he traveled from Washington to Notre Dame for graduation weekend so he could wheel my mom around campus. She was battling cancer at the time. On opening day 2011, my sons Pat and Greg sat with Steve and his three kids at Nationals Park. On opening day 2014, Steve made the hour-long drive from his Virginia home to my place in Maryland. He helped position my braced right leg across the backseat of the car and collapsed the wheelchair into the trunk. We were off. An hour later, with temporary permit in hand, Steve parked in a specially marked blue handicap space close to the ballpark. We were welcomed at the center field entrance by a delightful attendant who scanned the tickets and escorted us through the extra-wide swing gate. Once inside, we were greeted by the newest addition to the cast of racing presidents, William Howard Taft, affectionately Bill. Our 27th president succeeded Teddy Roosevelt in the White House in 1909, and in 1910, he began the presidential tradition of throwing out the ceremonial first pitch on opening day. Bill knew in an instant that I was his kind of fan, an opening day kind of guy. Bill insisted on a photo. Tap, tap. We had arranged for special seating. As required by the ADA, stadiums now designate at least 1% of all seating for handicapped fans spread throughout the ballpark, each with a space for a wheelchair and a seat for an able-bodied companion. Our setup atop the third base box seats was perfect, high enough to see over the fans in front of us who would soon be standing for player introductions. Just as important, we were close to concessions and accessible bathrooms. After the game, we decided to roll down to the bullpen at the Half Street Fairgrounds, a popular pregame and postgame hangout adjacent to Nationals Park. The fairgrounds was an ingenious entrepreneurial undertaking by local developers to make good use of a large city block while waiting for economic conditions to improve enough to support more profitable development. Beginning its seventh season, the fairgrounds was a bare-bones tailgate party without the parked cars, complete with live music, food trucks, cold beer, and a long row of more than a dozen porta-johns, including an extra-large one with that now iconic blue wheelchair access symbol. After a post-game beverage, I left Steve and propelled the chair over to the end of the line of patrons awaiting to use said facilities. Gracious fans offered assistance and encouraged me to go to the front of the long line. I parked the chair, locked the wheels, and used my crutches to navigate the next few minutes. When I emerged, the wheelchair was occupied by someone's empty beer cans and other trash. Lovely. The trash cans must have been full. Realizing I could not hold the crutches and clear the debris, two helpful bystanders quickly disposed of the garbage. While the ADA addressed so many concerns about facilities access, it couldn't fix the behavior of an isolated drunk. For the box score, play-by-play, and that picture of me with the president, visit openingday5050.com.